Let's read in Matthew's Gospel tonight, if you'll look with me. Matthew chapter 28, and this is the commission of our Lord, another area in the Scripture here of just as He was being ascended into heaven, and these words that were given, words of challenge and commandment to the apostles at that last, amen. Technical difficulties. All right. Amen. We're reading here in Matthew 28. Won't you look with me here in verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. The great commission, the great co-mission that each one of us have been invited to be a part of. And commanded to be a part of. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to just take a few minutes tonight to talk about water baptism because of the special blessing that's available to every believer who obeys the Lord in water baptism. Praise God. Some of you probably remember when you were baptized in water. I was just a young teenager and I had just renewed a commitment to the Lord and just really made a renewed dedication to God, and I wanted to do something about that. And I found, especially with younger people, but most of the time I think it's true of everyone, when you get truly born again, you feel this need to do something about it. You want to take action. And so new Christians are more likely to speak out. They don't always know what to say, but they want to talk about what the Lord has done in their life. They want that to be expressed, and they want to do something for God. They want to be involved in something. And I'm glad that the Lord set this pattern and this commandment in the church that we would obey the Lord in water baptism, because it's something that we physically do after we are born again of the Spirit. We do something physically, which I think fulfills just another desire of the hearts of people that get saved, that they want to do something about it and they want to express it physically and publicly. And the Lord has provided this wonderful ordinance and commandment of the Lord for us to obey the Lord. This commission commanding the disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, to preach to them repentance, and to preach to them, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, water baptism. Why? Now, this can be, and it won't be tonight, but it can be every time I get into one of these topics, and I've been looking at these for some weeks now. It grows and grows and grows because there is such a wonderful study that relates to the spiritual blessing of something such as water baptism. But this is really the first thing that you do after you're born again, after you're saved, that you obey the Lord. And really, if you get saved and you say no to water baptism, then you've just put a period at the end of what's going on in your spiritual life. It's like a dead end. You're not going to go any further. As a matter of fact, that this is an ordinance. It is a commandment of God. That means non-optional. And there are certain things in the Word of God that God, you know, principles and certain things that God instructs us in, and some of those things might be optional. But this is not optional. Amen. You obey the Lord in water baptism after you have been born again. And that's really what qualifies you to become a candidate to be baptized in water, is because you have repented of your sins and you are believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So repentance and faith put you in this wonderful category. You become a candidate to be baptized in water. Amen. And like I said, many of us remember when that experience may have taken place in our life. As I said, I was young and didn't understand a lot of the things about it. And have thought even since that time, you know, maybe a little bit later on, I should have just went for another dunk. Amen. Amen. We were pastoring in Oklahoma. We built a new sanctuary there, and we put a baptistry in that sanctuary. And as soon as we did, we started having difficulty with it. And there had been an error in the electrician's hookup of the heater and the circulation pump that circulated the water. And so I actually stepped into the water one night, and I felt a tingling. And we immediately canceled the baptismal service that night because things were wired not right, and the water was literally becoming a conductor whenever I got into that water. And I got to thinking, you know, it's possible. I have known of people, though, that have gotten saved and baptized in water, and after a service or two, you never did see them again. I really wondered, well, Lord, maybe would have been better for some folks if they got saved, baptized, and went to heaven all at the same time in that baptistry. Hopefully that's not true. Yeah, but water baptism is an act of obedience. When you become a Christian, that's your new life. You're not your own anymore. You're walking this new life of obedience. And so you're learning that your life doesn't belong to you anymore. And so what you are to do is to do what the Lord has asked you to do, what He has commanded you to do. And this first step is to obey the Lord in water baptism. And this is just the beginning of many other steps all down through the years of our Christian experience of saying yes to the Lord. What do you want me to do, Lord? What's next in my life? And you learn the process. And this is that first step of obedience to God. And as I said, it is non-optional. And when you look through the scripture in the Old Testament, you'll see that when they came back from the Babylonian captivity, they began to become a tradition among those returning Jews that they would cleanse themselves. And it's actually the Hebrew word is the word that describes the same thing of being immersed in water and baptized. And they did it symbolically as a testament of the fact that they were leaving that Babylonian influence, and they were coming back to the temple and back to righteousness and back to the service of the true and the living God. And so this was to denounce the worship of pagans, and you know, they wanted to get it all washed off of them. All of that influence and all of that that they had been surrounded with. And so they would enter into this act of cleansing and washing and purifying and then turning to a new commitment to the Lord. But then when John came there in the Gospels, and John's baptism was distinguished between the baptism of John and the baptism that Jesus had commanded. The baptism of John was a baptism of repentance for remission of sins. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And so what it was, John's baptism was symbolic. It was a pledge, as if they were saying, we have repented, we're turning from our sin and coming back to the Lord. And this is our symbolic public pledge that we have repented of our sins. But it was limited. It was
It was good. It was a part of John's ministry as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And even Jesus himself, when he stepped on the scene, Jesus himself moved into the same thing as an example of public baptism. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But then Jesus' baptism was a baptism that symbolized more than just repentance. It was symbolic of what he came to do and the thing that he did do. He died. He was buried. He was resurrected from the dead. And he came forth in new life. And all of that was the further symbol of baptism that Jesus preached. And everywhere he went, he followed the same pattern as John, preaching repentance and baptism. Amen. Now, those that would argue about this are not people who have looked very closely at the Word of God. 80 times in the New Testament, baptism is affirmed and reaffirmed and reaffirmed again and again and again as an important commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what do you do to be baptized? Well, that sounds simple to us because we know we've got a tank up here, a baptismal tank, and we've got the convenience of a heater and a pump that circulates the water. And there's been many a time that I have stepped into a baptistry and it felt as hot as bath water. I mean, we have really got it nice most of the time. Unless things aren't working right. Most of the time, it's really nice. But in the book of Acts, you remember the account of that eunuch that Philip was sent by God to preach to him and explain the scriptures from Isaiah to him. And when he got to this part and began to talk to him about the need to be baptized, Acts chapter 8 and verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And there was no hindrance. There it was. There was the water. Now, let me just stop right there and say, all throughout the scripture, whenever there is the commandment to be baptized, the word describes being immersed in water. Jesus was immersed in water. That was John's motive of baptism. That was what Philip did, as we'll read here in this scripture. And as a matter of fact, in John chapter 3, verse 23, it wasn't just water, because some practice just pouring a little water or sprinkling a little water on people. But that is not the biblical pattern. As a matter of fact, John 3 and 23, and John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salem, because there was much water there. There has to be more than just water. There has to be much water. Enough water to get them underneath. Amen. Immersed in that water because of the symbolism of what's going on there as to what it means. There has to be much water. And then there has to be a going down into the water. You'll see that in the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts 8 and verse number 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. They both went down into the water. I remember we first were pastoring in Oklahoma. We were using a Methodist church.
And they didn't have a baptistry. They practiced the little sprinkling. And so we had to borrow a church, a Baptist church, when we were baptizing. I remember the Baptist pastor that was showing me around, and he said, here's what I use. And he brought out these fishing waders. And he would pull them all the way up, and then he would climb into there with, and never would take his suit and tie off. He'd just pull them rubber fishing waders up on him and climb out there and baptize them and go back out into the service. Well, it worked. It was fine as long as you go into the water, and as you go into deep enough water to make sure that that candidate is able to be immersed in the water. So it requires water, it requires much water, it requires a going down into the water, and it requires a coming up. Amen. Acts 8 and verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Amen. And so, what an experience that this Ethiopian eunuch had as he was baptized and his new life in Jesus Christ was started. Praise God. Amen. And they were able to by this physical act. Now, whenever we talk about the importance of being immersed in water, you cannot deny the fact that it is symbolic of our identity with Christ. And whenever we're baptized, number one, it is a commandment of God. Number two, it's in water baptism that we identify with Jesus. And that's why he commanded us to be immersed in water. Because when we identify him, we're identifying with his, number one, his death. We die with him. Amen. We die with him. And that's what coming to the Lord is all about. That the old man dies. The old life is over, and it dies out. And so that's the symbolism of water baptism and the importance of being immersed in water. Now let me just stop right here, and I'll just throw this in. We do not practice or believe in baptismal regeneration. We don't believe in that. We don't believe that a person is saved only after they have been washed or dunked and baptized in water. We don't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. We know that we are saved because we have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We have repented of our sins, and that is what qualifies us to be born again. The next step is a step of obedience. Water baptism is, but if there's someone that is physically unable, they're sick in body, or in some situation where they can't obey, their heart is obedient to God. They want to do whatever the Lord would have them to do, but they're physically unable to do it. Then we know that that person is born again and they're saved, and that is their salvation. So we don't believe in baptismal regeneration. We don't believe that the Bible teaches that to little children who are before they understand, or babies. We don't baptize babies. I've had people come to me before many times asking me, would you baptize our baby? And our practice, of course, is that we believe in dedicating of babies and families to the Lord. But we do not believe that we baptize them, because there's no way before they are the age of understanding and accountability that they would be able to know sin and understand and repent and believe. They have to come to the age that they understand how to repent of their sins, and that they can have faith and confidence in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if they can, sometimes little small children have amazing faith and ability to understand what it is to be saved. And small children, 4, 5, 6 years old, get truly born again. And they can be a candidate for water baptism if they understand what it means to be truly born again. And I think we parents understand best that. We dedicate our babies to God. We don't sprinkle them or practice infant baptism. We don't do that because we believe in immersion. Amen. And we believe that water baptism is identifying with Christ, number one, in his death. Romans 6 and verse 3, know you not that so many of us were baptized
into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Amen. As he died, so we die. The old man dies. The old life dies. And we become a new person in Jesus Christ. And that's part and process of this identity with Christ in water baptism. We identify with him in his death and in his burial. That's why the symbolism of that person going down in the water, completely buried underneath the water. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So it identifies him with us with his death. It identifies us with his burial. It identifies us with his resurrection. Because that person that is taken down into the water is also lifted back up out of the water. Amen. I have baptized them that have been very, very small people. I have baptized some that were not small. Very, very not small. And you know what? There's a wonderful thing about water. When they get in the water, it doesn't matter really how much they weigh. You can pretty well handle them and get them up out. But I have had a few close calls, I have to tell you. But death, burial, and resurrection, bringing them back up out of the water. Amen. That experience, you know, new converts are, sometimes they don't know very much at all. And this lady had got saved, came and prayed in the altar, and we had several that had gotten saved and were being baptized. And so she wanted to be baptized. And so that was the next thing. She had prayed just that day, or maybe just in just a recent service. And so whenever we got ready to go into the baptistry, as soon as I stepped into the water, I realized that the heater wasn't working. Now, it's pretty bad on the preacher, but the preacher just goes into his waist. But I feel so sorry for the people that are being baptized when the heater don't work. And this lady who knew nothing about church or the Lord, all she was doing is doing what she thought was the next thing to do. When I took her under and she came back out of the water, she let out a loud scream, and she said, "Oh, Lord, I feel like a popsicle." We lost all of our sanctity and spiritual. We lost the moment. Amen. But she came out of that water. And the coming up out of the water, symbolic of the resurrection. Romans 6 and verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. So John's baptism was a baptism unto repentance and remission of sins. It stopped right there. But the baptism that Jesus commanded was a baptism into him, into the work of the cross, into the work of his death, burial, resurrection, and newness of life. And that's the fourth thing. That water baptism identifies us with his death, with his burial, with his resurrection, and with the new life that he gives to us. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Amen. A new life. Amen. So we baptize and we by immersion, because we believe what the command of the scripture was of our Lord when he ascended and he gave that commandment to his disciples as he was ascended into heaven. That great commission, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, well, without going into a big, large theological discussion here, that is the formula for which we baptize. We baptize into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because the Trinity was a participant, all three, in the salvation and the conversion, the work and the united work of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in bringing men to salvation. And to baptize only in Jesus' name is to deny this work of the Trinity. There's really only three places in the New Testament where the formula is other than Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And in three places in the New Testament, it describes that they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Each of those cases is talking about into the work of Christ, into becoming a servant and a follower of Jesus Christ. It is not giving the formula. Jesus gave the formula when he ascended into heaven and he gave to the disciples his commission, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we are baptized. So that doesn't save you. People can be baptized a dozen times. That's not your salvation. But you, as a born-again Christian, as quickly as you have the opportunity, you need to be baptized in water. Praise God. Amen. It doesn't have to be in a baptistry. It can be out at the river. It can be at the lake, it can be in just wherever there is water, much water, and there is a candidate, and there is that one who baptizes, and that person, that minister that baptizes you in water. It doesn't really matter where you are, just as long as you are taking advantage of the opportunity to take that step of obedience. Praise God. Amen. Go ye into all the world. We were in India some years ago. I forget how many years it's been now, but after the meetings of 3 days of these meetings, it was like thousands of people there. They said 5,000 people were in these meetings, and I couldn't distinguish who were the Christians and who were the people that were coming to get saved. But there were numbers of people. I'm thinking that they said something like as many as 200 or more that had gotten saved during those meetings. And so they took them immediately to the river. They wouldn't let us go because it was a public place and they were afraid it was dangerous for us to be out there. But they marched out there, all thousands of them, out there to that water. And that was the same water where they washed their clothes. It was the same water where the cows visited often. And all the other animals, I mean, everything was going on in that water. It was the public waterway that ran right by the place where we were having the services. And they all just went out there and baptized. And I didn't get to go out there, but I handed one of the Indian brothers my movie camera, a video camera, and they took it out there. And I have watched those one after another be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Down. They had several ministers baptizing. And it was a glorious sight to see people, not only in our country, but in all other countries of the world, obeying the commandment of Jesus Christ and being baptized. Praise the Lord. If you haven't been baptized, don't delay. Amen. If you're a Christian, don't delay. Obey the Lord in water baptism. Praise God. And let's believe that God can do some wonderful, mighty things in the lives of people, as long as we are willing to say yes and be obedient to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to serve you. And Lord, this is just another way that we can walk in obedience to your command. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us to new life. And you have given us, Lord, victory in our lives so that we can live before this world, Lord, with a testimony. You're at work in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.